Do you remember in Psalm 139, David says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there's those wicked ways in me, and lead me in your everlasting way." Well, what he was saying was, "Search me, O God, not because you need to know. Search me, O God, because I need to know what you're surfacing. What's going on? Is it my impatience? Is it my desire to slander, to lie, sexual immorality? What is it, God?" And he's going to put you into a situation where that's going to get revealed. Now, what are you going to do with it? It's pass or fail.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. When you become a Christian, the Bible says old things pass away and all becomes new. And that's exciting. But what you may not realize is that it often takes the furnace to burn away the old so that the new can emerge. The furnace is not any fun, but it is necessary, and it can be a blessing. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, "The Blessing of the Furnace."
What does it take for you to start praying? A setback, crash, risk, panic? What does it take? A lot of times, it's in the furnace that we pray that God get rid of the inconvenience. We pray it away. But today, I want you to rethink the way you pray. James was so important to me when I was first a Christian that I memorized the first and second chapters, just put it to memory. And it was so important to me that I would review it again and again and again. And by the way, James was no stranger to the furnaces of life. He was actually the half-brother of Jesus, because after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary had more children. And although what was conceived in Mary was of the Holy Spirit, after he was born, they had others, and one of them, whose name was James. So he's a half-brother of Jesus. But the interesting story is that he never believed that Jesus was the Messiah till after the resurrection. I mean, if your brother said that he was a Messiah, it's like, forget it, right? So you understand that. But after the resurrection, he was so blown away that his heart was totally converted. And in fact, he prayed and prayed and prayed so much that if you read the history of James, he's called Camel Knees, because he prayed so much, his knees were calloused from praying. He became one of the leaders and elders in Jerusalem later on, the Council of Jerusalem. But he writes this book because he's no stranger to the furnaces of life. And he starts it off in the second verse. He says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith," remember those words, "knowing that the testing of your faith produces character," or endurance, perseverance. The testing of your faith is what gives you character. Not faith itself. It's testing of your faith that gives you endurance. "And let endurance have its perfect result." Don't give up. Don't pray it away. "So that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." We often pray away our inconveniences. And today I want to encourage you, challenge you to rethink the way that you pray. For faith to become more than a word, for faith to become faith, for faith to become more than just a nice platitude, faith must and will be tested. Because when you come to Christ, you have what the Bible calls a measure of faith, but it's far from mature, far from being full. And when you go through a furnace, the tests come, and you will pass or fail. In the furnace, your faith will reveal, your test will reveal the quality of your faith. How you do in the furnace will reveal the quality of your faith. Did you know, by the way, that faith has differing qualities? Yep. If you remember Matthew 13, sower sowed the seed. Some fell on good ground, shallow ground, weedy ground. Some rose up quickly when the sun shone, and then it dried out. Our faith is like that. You can have a faith that's rich and deep and wholesome, or you can have a faith that's shallow, easily defeated, easily offended. You can have all kinds of qualities of faith. I wonder what quality of faith you have. You see, for us to have a faith that's deep and wholesome, it will be tested. It will be tested. And in fact, God wants your faith to be so strong that he's going to allow the furnaces to come into your life to test the quality. Remember, the Pharisees had a faith, but Jesus condemned that as a misguided, misconstrued faith. And if you take a look at Jesus working with his disciples, often he would be testing the quality of their faith. It was about faith. Do you remember when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and the disciples couldn't cast out this demon? And they asked, why couldn't your disciples cast this out? And he said, because the littleness of their faith, the quality of their faith wasn't quite there yet. In the midst of the lake, when Peter was trying to walk on the water to get to Jesus and he started to sink because of the waves, Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith." In fact, the Lord said, if you had the quality of faith, that's just the size of a mustard seed. I mean, not just faith, the quality of faith, just that much quality of faith, a quality of faith, that much. You could say to this mountain, "Be thou taken up and cast into the sea," and it would move. Faith. And the disciples heard that and said, "Whew, increase our faith." Faith can be increased or decreased. So how do you increase that? God takes us through the furnaces. Do you remember when Paul the apostle was still Saul of Tarsus? And on the road to Damascus, he had a man named Ananias pray for him. And Ananias said, I don't know if I want to pray for him, God. He's known to be kind of a bad guy. And the Lord said, no, you pray for him because I will show him how much he must, do you remember, suffer for my name's sake. So that he was going to go through furnaces. Why? Because the faith that he had as Saul the Pharisee was not going to be the quality that God would need for Paul the apostle. And so he would take them through the furnace. Now, these challenges that we face are not just random challenges. God knows what we need, and so he actually gives these to us as opportunities for growth. And if we fail them, then we lose that which could have been growth. Then why does God take us through these furnaces? Because God knows the quality of our faith needs to be increased in order to receive the inheritance that he has for us. Like the setting of a diamond ring, if the tendrils of that diamond ring is weak, then you could have a $50,000 diamond in there. But if the tendrils, if the fingers of that are weak, then one bump and you lose all of the worth of that diamond. No jeweler that's wise would put a beautiful diamond in a weak setting. And God is no different. Why would he put the promises of your future that are bright and amazing into a weak setting? So God has to fire that. God has to work on that. God has to strengthen that. And he does that through the furnaces. But yet, we try to pray those furnaces away. But God loves us so much, he won't allow you to pray everything away that's inconvenient. I'm sorry. And if you catch that, you'll begin to understand. You cannot pray away everything that's inconvenient. Because those furnaces may bring to light and bring to revelation, bring to the surface areas of your faith that are still flat and lacking in quality. There's weaknesses or flaws, and certain things will only grow strong in the furnace. There's no other place. So why does God bring us through those? Well, the scripture says it this way. There was a time when the Pharisees came to Jesus and saw his disciples eating without doing a ceremonial washing. I mean, it's just for ceremony. And so they were eating without ceremonially washing their hands. And they said to Jesus, the Pharisees said, "Hey, your disciples, they don't ceremonially wash their hands before eating. That's terrible." And Jesus said, "You do everything for ceremony, don't you, Pharisees? You do everything just basically for optics so that people think you're people of great faith." But he actually condemned their quality of faith. And then he said this, he launched into a teaching. He says, you know, even if they didn't ceremonially wash their hands, it's not what goes into a person that defiles them, it's what comes out. And then he said this, for out of the heart of man, and he gives six vices that lay dormant in every one of our hearts. Out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, lying, and slander. I looked at those six vices and I thought, oh, they're already resident in our heart? They're in dormant mode, waiting to surface, looking for an opportunity. That's called original sin. From Adam, we inherited original sin. Oh, in seed form. But there's going to be opportunities that'll come up, and those things will start to surface, and God says, now overcome it, Wayne. You got to master it. Genesis 15. Do you remember Cain and Abel? Cain was about to kill his brother Abel because he didn't like him, and Abel was being accepted and he wasn't. Jealousy started to rage in his heart, and he was plotting to kill his brother Cain. And the Lord says, whoa, hey. He says, do you know that sin, if you do good, and if you do good, you'll be accepted. If you don't do good, he said this, if you don't do good, sin is crouching in your heart, waiting to pounce on you, but you must overcome it. What was he saying? There's sin inside of every one of us because we're of the flesh. And even when we receive Christ, those seeds still are in us, and they're only going to surface in a furnace. And when they do, God says, there you go. That's what we're going to work on today. And instead of us praying that inconvenience away and the furnace away, I want to encourage you to challenge you to say, Lord, I pray for wisdom. I pray that you'll help me to cooperate with what the Holy Spirit's doing in the midst of this furnace. What is he saying to you? What is he saying to me? What is he revealing? How often we blame people. We get mad at God. We get mad at others. We go into a shell. God says, no. Do you remember in Psalm 139, David says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there's those wicked ways in me, and lead me in your everlasting way. What he was saying was, search me, O God, not because you need to know. Search me, O God, because I need to know what you're surfacing. What's going on? Is it my impatience? Is it my desire to slander, to lie, sexual immorality? What is it, God? And he's going to put you into a situation where that's going to get revealed. Now, what are you going to do with it? It's pass or fail. That's going to determine the quality of faith. And if we shuck and jive and move that around or blame somebody else, if you fail a test, God is so nice, he brings you through that again. He just has you repeat the class. Isn't that nice of him? Because God loves you so much, he does not want that to stay resident in your heart. I tell men, a lot of times the only reason we don't sin is because we haven't had yet the opportunity to sin. But once the opportunity happens, well, bam, we're into sin. And God is saying exactly that. Sin is crouching at your door. But when I reveal that, let's work together and overcome it. Then the quality of your faith increases. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without that quality of faith, that mustard seed of faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That quality of faith, if you get that quality of faith that's going to be found in the furnaces, a little mustard seed of that will start to move mountains for you. But how often we pray the inconveniences away rather than overcoming it. And we get afraid of failing, or afraid of this, or afraid of that. No, you've got to face every fear because the Holy Spirit's there to help you. The Bible says those things are resident in our hearts. And sometimes some men will say to me, hey, Wayne, that woman, she made me sin. No, that sin was already in your heart. She may have helped you surface it, but it was already in there. Those things already lie within you. And God is saying, we're going to surface that, and the heat is going to bring that up. And it'll surface it. And that's why the scripture says, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeals that come upon you for your testing. So God wants to remove those things from our lives. And so he says, David says, search me, O God. Again, these are not random challenges. These are opportunities for growth. And God will refine my faith. You know, God, like chips, gambling chips. Some of you know these, but these are actually Lincoln Logs. I don't have chips. My grandkids. But it's like all of these promises for your future. You know, Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, that you might have a future and a hope. And so he gives you chips, as it were, in the form of promises that you'll have a generational legacy, Wayne, that your grandkids and kids will follow in the wholeness of God, the goodness of God. And then joy. There's a promise of joy in your marriage. There's one for peace. Here's another for virtue, that you'll be integrous. Here's one for integrity. Here's one over here for healthy relationships. And another one here for your heart, a pure heart, and maybe some wisdom that you'll need. Now, these are all in promises. God puts these in store for you, all right? But then we come to a furnace here and a temptation, and I'd rather have a passing pleasure than the promises of God. I want this now. So you know what we have to do? We have to actually barter a piece of our future for a passing pleasure. And then, ooh, I like this. But I know what God is saying. Do I want the promises of God or a pleasure? I want a pleasure. Okay, then I barter another piece. Now, I get that passing pleasure, but you see how it's starting to diminish God's promises in my life because I've chosen a different way. And then I want something else, so I barter for that. I see this over here, and I know I shouldn't lie, but... And so I keep bartering my future. Pretty soon, you don't have much left, do you? All the promises of God have been eaten up. That's why the Bible says in the book of Joel, the worm hath eaten away the things of God. Why? Because by choice, I barter it. I say, yeah, I'd rather have this pleasure here than to obey you. I'd rather have this thing here because it's just what I want. I'd rather have that than this. So here. Now, when it's all gone, will God forgive me? Everybody say yes. But your future's gone. See, God forgives. But you've already bartered away your promise, the promises of God. And so, does God forgive? Absolutely. But listen, the Bible says that Jesus came to give you life and more abundantly. See, a lot of times we just say, well, God's going to forgive, so everything is magically there. You already gave it away to the devil for a passing pleasure. You paid for it. Remember, salvation is free. Everything else is going to cost one way or another. And so we barter it away. But listen, God forgives. He sure does. But God says, I want you not only to have eternal life, I want you to have abundant life. So I'm going to rush in. Even if it means sending a whale your way to eat you up for 3 days, if I have to send an angel with a flaming sword or a talking donkey, I'm going to stop you from eating up what I paid dearly for to give to you, and you've bartered it away. So all of these wonderful promises cost God everything. He bankrupted heaven for you and me to give us a future and a hope. And what are we going to do? Will we cooperate with him, or are we going to gamble it away? And God is saying, no, stay with me, and I'm going to show you what's going on in your life. And I love you so much that I'm going to come in and stop everything and say, no, don't do it. You know, the person that he sends in to help us along the way when we're about to barter or gamble our future away, his name is the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, he's called Parakletos. Parakletos is a word for the Holy Spirit. Para is alongside. Kalo is to be called. You know who the Holy Spirit is? He's the one that God calls alongside of you to help you whenever you go through the furnace. Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said to the king, King, we're not going to bow down to you or your golden idol. Then you're going to go through the furnace. Our God will save us, but even if he does not, we're still going to follow him. Start the furnace up. Heated it 7 times hotter than it usually would have been heated. Pushes those 3 kids in, tied up with ropes. Just a moment, he looks into the furnace, and instead of crispy critters, he sees not 3, but the Bible says, I see 4. And the 4th is like the Son of God. They walk through the furnace. They come out unscathed. The only thing that's changed, their clothes are still there. Not a singe on their clothes. The only things that were burnt off were the ropes that tied their hands. When you and I understand the furnaces of God, that they're not just random challenges, but they are selected opportunities to help your faith to grow into a quality that can move mountains. God says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to walk with you right through the furnace. And if you'll come through it correctly, the only things that'll be burned up was what tied you up for years. I'm going to surface these things. Don't be afraid. Don't blame. It's something that's already in you, not in her, not in him, not in them, not in that jerk of a neighbor, not that coworker, not that person on the freeway. No, it was inside you. They may have surfaced it. They may have incited it, but it wasn't in them. It's in you. And now when it comes up, what are you going to do? And God says, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit so that you'll see that and you'll cooperate with me, helping you to overcome that. To say, I'm not going to fall anymore. I'm not going to be held hostage by that anger, by those words, by those thoughts of lust, thoughts of whatever. That's it. Those are ropes. And God then brings it up, brings in the Holy Spirit, allows that to surface, because I want your faith to be of gold. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. And we, like David, could say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, see if there be any wicked way, because I want my heart to be pure. A man had a cabin up in the mountains, and it was sort of starting to get infested by rats. And so he took some crackers and got rat poison and laced it onto these crackers, like dust, like salt, and just dusted this. He was going to go up to the cabin, leave it. The rats would eat it and die. And as he put it on his front seat and put it into reverse, he realized, looking around, oop, I forgot my driving, my glasses. And so he put it back and parked to go get his glasses. And as he left the door open and the car running. Just then a passerby saw that this might be an opportunity for sin. And so he jumps in the car, slams the door, puts it in reverse, and takes off, steals the car. And as I said, thousands of cars are stolen. But this one caused an Amber Alert on radio. It stopped all of the channels. And if you see this red Toyota of this certain style, license plate, whatever it was, stop him, hail him down, do whatever you can. Why do you think it went on television and radio as a major Amber Alert? Because they wanted to nail him? Because they wanted to make an example of him? Because they wanted to punish him? No, it went on Amber Alert because they wanted to save his life. And sometimes God comes rushing in. Why? Because he wants to rain on your parade? Mess you up? Oh, because he loves you more than you'll ever, 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 ever know. And he's saying, stop. I have a future and a hope for you. And the Holy Spirit's going to come in and he's going to say, I was called alongside of you to help from the beginning of time. And if you'll listen to me and hear my words, I will lead you in the way of God. And you will not forfeit, gamble away the future that Jesus paid for you. That's the quality of faith that I want to build in you, says the Lord. And if you'll walk with me and listen to me, we will become a community of faith that can change the world. That's the church. Why aren't we there? Maybe because we've been praying every inconvenience away rather than saying, Holy Spirit, would you help us to navigate this? Give me wisdom from above. Help me to be that person you want me to be. Help me to overcome my own weaknesses that you just surfaced. Thank you for doing that. I will obey you. When that happens, you will come out with faith like pure gold. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a message entitled The Blessing of the Furnace by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We trust this program has been a blessing to you today. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
Then the quality of your faith increases. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without that quality of faith, that mustard seed of faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That quality of faith. If you get that quality of faith that's going to be found in the furnaces, a little mustard seed of that will start to move mountains for you.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.